home. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here and separate, come out from among the world. Lord, how wonderful it is midway through the week that we can come in fellowship with brothers and sisters. And Lord, get to hear your word preached. Thankful for that, dear God. I pray that, Father, again, you would just give Pastor your unction. I pray, Lord, you'd hide him behind the cross. Use him. Pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would manifest itself in a mighty way here this evening. Lord, I pray that you really speak to each and every one of our hearts. We need it, Lord. We need it, Father God. Lord, each and every one of us here needs to be built up, needs to be lifted up, encouraged, Father, as the world becomes a more and more dangerous, wild place to live, Father God. But through you, we have hope. We don't need to fear. This is the worst it gets for us and the best it gets for them. Lord God, I just am so thankful for that and for our salvation. So, Father, I pray now that you bless the song singing. Pray, Lord, be edifying to you. And I ask you, Father God, to be with the service this evening. Give those who couldn't be here this evening, whether it be for sickness or for any other particular reason, Father God, I pray you just would be with them, help them to work out the situations if they're sick. Lord, I pray you help them to feel better. Brian and Erica stuck on 22. I pray, Lord, you just get them here safely. And for anyone else who may be sick with, perhaps maybe Sister Nancy, I think, has COVID. And ask Father God to give the doctors the wisdom to get her back on her feet and back in church. So, Lord, we want to give you praise. We want to thank you for all you'll do. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Your hymn book, we'll sing page 348. Page number 348, Redeemed.
Thank you.
Page 339.
Service,
pray for Apollo's salvation. Recently, a young mother, as we got attending Sunday evening services in Salinas, the father came as a boy and has come off and on over the years, but not recently. When he showed interest in going Sunday, his nephew gave up his spot in the car to make room for him. Pray for Isabella and Allison. Sunday evening, we gathered for our normal time of worship, and the testimonies were precious. One man who has been timid about praying in public boldly prayed for God to work in his life and help him grow daily. Pray for continued growth of believers both in Salinas and Hightide. On the first Sunday of November, we celebrated 20 years since we held our first Sunday school class in Salinas. Pastor Suarez challenged the church from 1 Thessalonians 2 to consider where they want to be in 5 years and what their part is in getting there. On Sunday morning, we had lots of visitors, believers from Salinas, Macapa, Baleen, and I'm not going to say that one because I'm going to say it, joined with them and our other group to worship and hear from God's word. Afterwards, we went to the building site as both the architect and the pastor overseeing construction happened to be there. As I talked over ideas with the others present, we were reminded of the body of Christ, each one doing their part in the work going forward. Our hearts overflowed with joy when a missionary in St. Louisa, Dupara, sent us this picture of Valadine and Gavin. They faithfully attended with us while they lived in Kutai and have just begun going to church there in Santa Luisa de Para. Gabby made a profession of faith early this year, but Valadina still needs to be saved. Yes, it is that time of year again, and our Christmas bags project is in full swing. We have been blessed with lots of help getting the kits together, 1,600 down and 900 to go. As we've had an opportunity to share kits with those working in places we have never been to. To the right is JCL, who's pictured in a community that has no gospel witness. He and his wife have been working there this last year, making contacts, visiting in homes, and evangelizing. This year, we look forward to seeing where the Lord will open hearts in nearly 50 communities where the Christmas bags and devotionals will be shared this year. Please pray for us for open hearts, workers to follow up, our contacts, as well as health, safety, and strength as we finish putting the kits together and oversee distribution. In the midst of the blessing, there have been battles, of course. Pray that we will continually look to the one who gives victory for wisdom, strength, and direction. Pray also as we finish up classes at ABRE this next Friday, wrap up the Christmas bag project, and prepare to travel on December 23rd and return to Brazil on January 5th. Pray also as we make plans for preparations for BDS in Salinas in January and in the villages in February. Loving him, Robin and Hannah Arena. Amen. So please keep them in prayer and all the work that they're doing down there in Brazil. You said she's been down for 27 years, right? Robin's been down there for 27 years. Very, very faithful. So please pray for them. Pray for those individuals that are hearing the gospel. Pray for those bags, those Christmas bags, as it goes out, that God will just use them and the gospel witness that's in them just to deal with families and even kids about their souls. Amen. So we're going to try something different here. Does anybody know page number 14? Or has heard it before? Page number 14. Arise, my soul, arise. Anybody know that song?
I know that song, but not the tune that's there.
I'm going to sing the tune that I know. I don't know if it's a good tune that's there. I know it's probably impossible to play. But it's a very good song. It's
yes.
One of my favorites. She can't play it all. You can't play it, can you?
No, the one in here is a different tune than what we
actually
play.
It is.
Can you play it by ear? That means a yes, because you ain't said no. you can't, none of it by ear, huh? Zero? Like, what's the percentage? What's that?
I haven't done that one yet.
No. All right. So, has anybody else heard it? Ralph's heard it. Nobody else has heard it. So I'd like to try to learn it tonight. So you can stay seated. I'm going to start singing it. If you can pick up on it in the third or fourth verse, try to pick up on it with me in the third or fourth verse. And we'll try to learn this song. It's a wonderful song. Got a lot of good doctrine in it. And it's one of my favorite songs to sing. All right, so we'll give it a shot here.
Jesus Christ. That's one of my favorite hymns there with what's written in it. I'm glad there's no more condemnation, that I'm forgiven in Jesus Christ. We're going to continue on this evening, and you take your Bible. We're going to go to 2 Peter, but I want you to look at something that's written in Philippians chapter number 3. Verse number 1, Philippians chapter 3, and verse number 1, and then we're going to flip back over to 2 Peter and read over there. Philippians chapter 3, and Paul says here in verse number 1, Philippians 3, 1, the Bible says here, Paul to the church there and to the brethren that are there, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity tonight. Thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, coming out on a Wednesday evening, dear God. Lord, we just thank you for all you do for us, for your mercy and your grace and your love. Thank you for this opportunity, dear God. Thank you for this evening, that we have the ability to gather together to open up your word. Lord, I have nothing to offer, dear God, so I ask, Lord, that you just lead and direct and guide in what's said and done. Lord, that you would be glorified and honored and praised, and us, Lord, here that are here tonight would receive help to draw closer to you and love you more in these last days that we're living in. And we just ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul says here to the Philippians, he says, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous. But he said, but for you it is safe. And if we flip over back over to 2 Peter, Peter says some of the same things in chapter number 1. And to me it's safe. It's safe for all of us to go over what I believe the Lord had Peter and I believe Paul put the emphasis on. A continual remembrance of what they're saying in their epistles and in their letters to the churches. We know that in the Laodicean time frame that we're in, and if you read there in chapter 3, that the Lord is on the outside knocking on a door trying to get in to his own church. And both Paul and Peter continually say, remember, remember. Paul says, it's not grievous for me if I go and write to you the same thing again, because that's safe. How many people today are falling astray and out of the way because they're not remembering what the Lord has said in his word? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. And besides all this, now we're going to get into what we were looking at 2 weeks ago, but I just want to review this again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. That is the aim for all of us as Christians. It's safe. It's secure. It provides for us what we need in the days and the hours that we're living in, that we add to our faith. These are the things Peter's saying. Listen, these last days that you're living in, because we're gonna hit that in chapter 3, talking about the day of the Lord is at hand. The earth's going to melt up with fervent heat. He's referring to the end part there of the millennial reign. But he's telling the brethren here, he says, listen, put these things in remembrance. Give diligence to add to your faith these things. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. These are the things he says, because we looked at it before, verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, here he says again, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent, kind of what Paul was talking about over there in Philippians 3:1. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. He goes on in verse 13 saying remembrance. Verse 15, always in remembrance. These things are important that we don't forget what the Lord puts the emphasis on. Now, he talks about in chapter number 2 there about false prophets, false teachers, who shall bring in damnable heresies. We followed that all the way through to verse number 14, saying, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. These false teachers, false prophets coming in and beguiling, tricking, who? Unstable souls. Now, brethren, I believe this as sure as I'm standing here, and I've said it a multitude of times, and I'll keep on saying it. If the church doors are open, I believe we need to be in church. I believe we need to be in church, especially the day and the hour that we're living in and what we're facing. How easy it is, brethren. You're talking about Peter and Paul, who were both apostles. Peter walked with the Lord Jesus Christ through his whole ministry. Peter was as close as you possibly could get to the Lord. And what does he say continually there in his second epistle? Remember, remember, put these things in, remember, give diligence, put that you don't forget, that you're not barren nor unfruitful. Peter goes on to say in chapter number 2, to add to what he said in chapter 1 is, listen, false teachers, false prophets are going to creep in. I was talking to Melanie about something. The church, those that are here tonight, I'm going to ask you as your pastor to pray, because there's a lot of situations going on that need a lot of prayer. And I'm kind of seeing a common theme, and I don't have social media, I don't have any of that stuff, but some things have been brought across my path, and there seems to be a common thread that I've seen with a number of people that have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. They have a form of godliness, there seems to be a form of Christianity, but it does not, the Christianity that they claim to have does not line up with Scripture. Brethren, I saw something this week that an individual had something about Jesus Christ, the line of Judah, as him being their king, their Lord, and something else. And right next to it, something that said F-U. There's a confusion out there today among Christianity. And I can't quite put my finger on it yet, but I'm starting to notice some things that have come across my path that seems to be the same common thread that goes through it all of, I got my Jesus, but I'm afraid it's like the Jesus of a good old country song rather than the Jesus of the Bible. Rather than the God of the Bible. Brethren, I don't know about you, and I've said, I can't get away with nothing as a Christian. Since I've been saved, the Lord, through the power of His Holy Spirit, will deal with me over things that just coming in my mind and my heart, He smokes me. I can't imagine having something that says Jesus on this end, and on the other side here, something that's so wicked, so devilish, so unclean, and reconcile the two of them. They cannot be reconciled. What did Peter say? He says, add to your faith virtue, and into virtue knowledge. And the one thing he writes in there, toward godliness. Why? Because you can get to a time today to where, to me, you're going to have a counterfeit Christianity out there. It's a counterfeit. It's not the real thing, though it appears to be the real thing. All the right words are there in some places. If you ask them how to be saved, they're going to give you the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's a wrong spirit to it. The book of John, 1 John, what does John tell us to do? He tells us to try the spirits. Try the spirits. Everything that comes into our life, wherever it comes in at, all of us as believers need to then take it and filter it through the Word of God. Does it line up with Scripture? But the problem today is not a lot of individuals spend enough time in their Bible to have any ounce of discernment about what is coming, something that's coming from God or something that is a counterfeit from the devil. What is a counterfeit? A counterfeit sometimes is really good. We had a counterfeit $50 bill my wife found one time. And back home, we have in a church back home, we have a little section there to where we sell a few little things, and the money goes to missions, to missionaries. Some little snacks or something for the kids in there. And we got a little glass jar there, and it says, you know, put in just an honor system. You know, buy something, put the money in it. And so one day we noticed it, because Melanie and I would sometimes counter. And we noticed, like, There was a lot of cash in there this morning before we went into the Sunday morning service. And now coming out, it doesn't seem like all of it's there right now. So I was like, something's up. Somebody's taking money out of there, and they ought not to be taking money out of there. And you know, sometimes people make change and all that. And so anyways, we set up a camera. We had this $50 bill. So it was a counterfeit, though. It was play money. It was like movie money. But it looked, on the front end of it, it looked really real. So, but when we got it, it was brand new. So I said, that ain't going to work. So I took it and I crumbled that thing up and I got it all like worn, like it's been used for a couple years now. And I stuck it down in there in that thing. Wouldn't you know, we go in, we set up a camera, come back out, it's gone. That $50 bill is gone. Well, guess what? If that individual tries to go spend that $50 bill, they're going to get in trouble. Especially if they take one of those markers and mark it, they're going to find out real quick that it's a counterfeit. And we're going to find out who was taking the money out of there, and we worked that all out. But my point is they thought that was real money. And they would go try to spend it maybe as real money. And you might be able to use a counterfeit bill and get over on somebody in a transaction. But that bill is only going to carry its weight so far until it comes to the bank, and the bank's going to say, this ain't the real thing. What did Jesus say that in the latter days or those that would appear before him, they would say, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things in your name? And what does Jesus say to these individuals who claim, for lack of better words, to be Christians? Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And Jesus is going to look at them and say, I never knew you. Brethren, who is that group of people today that hold the truth in unrighteousness? They've got to be somewhere. They've got to represent somebody. False teachers who creep in unawares, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with, look what it says in verse 14, with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the what? Wages of unrighteousness. Religion pays. Religion pays real good. There's a guy out there right now putting some false doctrine out. I decided to look up his salary or what I could find on it. Independent Baptist now. Net worth over $1 million. Making a pretty good living now. Making a real pretty good living. You got $1 million sitting in your bank account. That's pretty good. Who loved the? Why did Balaam sell out the children of Israel? He's gonna get some money out of it. One of these red flags is these individuals, these false prophets, false teachers. There's very few of them out there. I'm not saying there isn't any, but there's very few of them. When you go check their bank account, that it's like your and I's bank account, right? I'm not saying there ain't some out there. I'm sure there are some false teachers out there that give their money back to their false gospel. But it's funny how a lot of those false teachers out there today, they got a lot of money and more than they know what to do with. It lines right up with what's said here in 2 Peter chapter number 3. Now, real quick, look back over at 1 Kings chapter number 18. We were looking at this last week here about the bringing to the Lord an acceptable sacrifice that he'll receive. What does the Lord receive at our hands? And we looked at 1 Kings chapter 18 about Elijah and how he came to Ahab. And now he's called together all these false prophets, all these teachers of Baal, 450 of them. He asked them to build an altar unto their God, to bring a sacrifice, and whoever's God answers by fire, that is a true God. And we looked at some things a few weeks ago talking about how the altars of the Lord need to be repaired, not only in our churches, but maybe also in our own lives, to where what we bring to the Lord is acceptable. What a day that's going to be for those individuals who believe that they're doing what God wants them to do, and yet get before Jesus and hear, "I never knew you." That's a fearful thing. That's a very fearful thing. But Elijah says this. He says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions?" Altar needs to be repaired. It's broken down. Stones need to be gathered together, as he did there in verses 31 and through 32. Elijah takes some stones. He puts them together. We looked at maybe some stones that maybe have fallen away that we need to bring back together again, that's prohibiting us from offering a sacrifice that's acceptable to the Lord. What also we looked at, to where he brings those stones together. Then he builds a trench around it. Talking a little bit about separation from the world and its ways. Real quick, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. This is where I believe a lot of Christians, believers, fall into a trap. Fall into a trap. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Remember Elijah, he builds up that altar with those 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he tells those men around, he says, "Listen, I want you to dig a trench around this altar." And what does that symbolize in one way? A type of separation from the altar of Baal, from the altar of God. There's a separation there. There's a trench there that separates between that over there and where the true altar of God's at. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Why? Why ought we not to be yoked together with unbelievers? Because being yoked together with unbelievers, chances are, percentages are, that they're going to draw you away quicker than you're going to draw them to Christ. Some people say, "Well, I won't have no friends." Well, maybe you won't have no friends, but you'll be close to God. Brethren, I'm serious on this thing. What I'm seeing is it's being yoked up with unbelievers. Now, this ain't Pastor Chris saying it. This is Bible. Paul said to the Corinthian church, he says, "Listen, brethren, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Because look what he says, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" How can you be a Christian, Paul's saying, yet go and have fellowship and time together with those that are serving false gods? Paul says you cannot reconcile the two. He says, "Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Now look at this now. I'm not going to go in. There's a whole sermon right here in verse number 16. But look what this says concerning what we look at Genesis chapter number 3. "For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them." Amen, glory to God, I'm saved. But then look what it says next. "And will walk in them." Not only does the Lord say, God say, "I will dwell in them," God says, "I'm going to walk in them as well." God desires a walk with us. He desires a walk with us. To me, as a saved individual, my Christianity ought not to be just 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. My Christianity ought to be who I am. It ought to be my everything. It ought not to just be a certain time period, but my whole life. That ought to be what I should strive for. Because the Lord says, "I'll dwell in them and I'll walk in them and I will be their God and they shall be my people." Look what he says in verse 17 then. Wherefore, because of these things in verses 16, 15, and 14, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The thought continues on into chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting what, Paul? Perfecting holiness in what, Paul? The fear of God. What did we read earlier in 2 Peter chapter 2? To add to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, charity. Add all these things to your faith. Be diligent to do so. Be diligent to not forget these things, lest ye be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of who Jesus is. And that we would grow and perfect holiness in our lives in the fear of God. Repairing the altar. Not only does the altar need to be repaired, the stones brought together, separation around the sacrifices and the offerings that we give, it also needs to be set in order. Take your Bible and look at 1 Kings 18 again real quick and look at verse 33. Look what Elijah says here. 1 Kings 18, verse 33. 1 Kings 18, verse 33. Now, we know that Satan is the author of confusion. Satan is, brethren, Satan, Lucifer, is the author of confusion. So if there's any confusion in our lives, especially when it comes to spiritual things, if there's just this confusion in the mind trying to figure something out, it's not coming from the Lord. What comes from above is first pure, peaceable, easily to be entreated. We looked at that in James chapter 3. But notice what Elijah does here in 1 Kings 18:33, when before he offers his sacrifice. Look what he does. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill four barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now, any of you that's ever had a fireplace or have ever burned or started a fire, you just don't take a bunch of large logs, throw them down on the ground in a pile, and then throw a match onto it. Anybody that's got any experience in starting a fire realizes that fire is not going to start. The match is going to go out, or whatever you're trying to light, it's going to go out because you're not doing it in order. There's an order how you start fire. You put the things in order, you lay it. It's just not complete chaos. If you want to start a fire, there's ways to lay that wood. He's getting ready to offer a sacrifice. He just doesn't take that wood and throw it on top of the altar. No, he takes that wood and he lays it in order on top of that altar. There's precedent for this in the scriptures. Look back over at Genesis chapter 22. Look what Abraham does here. Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 9. Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 9. Look what the Bible says here. Genesis 22, 9. Genesis chapter 22, 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order. He laid the wood in order. This thing with God and an order to things is very important to him. Look over at Exodus chapter 39 and verse 37. They just didn't take the instruments that were used in the tabernacle and just throw them there in the midst of that tent. No, they set those things in order. Look at Exodus chapter 39, referring to the tabernacle and how they set things up. Exodus 39 and verse number 37. 39:37. Look what the Bible says here. The pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, in all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light. They set things in order. Now, why is it important to set things in order? So that you're not disorganized. If we're disorganized, we're going to have issues and problems in our life. Some people are more organized than other people. But as Christians, there ought to be some type of order in our life in order for the Lord to work through our life. Are we coming to the Lord, and is our Christian walk being done by the way we feel it should be done, or according to what the Lord has ordered in His Word? Okay? The Lord has ordered a way. He's given instruction. He desires structure and a way for things to be done in order for it to be accepted. Look at Psalm chapter 37:23. Psalm 37 and verse number 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, when you get orders, usually there's instruction with those orders. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by who? By the Lord. The Lord is giving instruction. The Lord's giving guidance. The Lord's giving direction. He's ordering the steps of a good man. And he that delighteth in his way, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Look over at Psalm 50, verse 23. Psalm 50, verse 23. Things being done in order, set in order, structured according to how God desires for them to be. Look at verse 21. I'm going to read verse 16, but then we're going to jump down to verse 21 because the Lord's calling them out on something here. He says in verse 16, "But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and casteth my words behind thee." Then he says in verse 21, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver." Those, to me, are one of the most fearful statements in all of Scripture. God, the Lord here, through this psalmist, is saying, listen, you take my statutes and my commandments in your mouth. You speak the things somewhat of what I say, yet you don't do them. And the reason you don't do them is because you think that I'm just like you, he says in verse number 21. The Lord calls him out and he says, you think that I'm just like you. You think that if this is the way you believe I want it done, then that's the way you do it. But in reality, God says, that's not the way I want it done. But God says this, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver." Verse 23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, well, I show what? The salvation of God." The psalmist is saying here, the Holy Spirit through this is saying to these individuals, listen, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God." Making sure things are done orderly and correctly and according to Scripture, then the Bible says, God says, "I'll show you the salvation of God." Ordering your conversation aright. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This thing of order and doing it according to Scripture is important. Psalm 119, verse number 133. A lot of individuals, brethren, will come up to you, Christians, and I believe some good Christians, and a lot of times what comes out their mouth when you're trying to talk to them is they'll say, "I feel." Well, I feel this should be this way. Well, I think it should be this way. Well, I just feel it should be this. But what does the Bible say? What does the Scriptures say? It's not a matter, brethren, of what we feel. It's a matter of what does the Bible say? Now, I'm gonna fail and I'm going to fall flat on my face in times as a pastor and a preacher, because one reason I'm going to fall on my face sometimes is because I don't know that book as much as I need to know that book, because there's so much in there. But what we should strive to and what I should strive for is to continually try to grow in the knowledge of what does the Bible say. What is God, what is the Lord pleased with, and then that's what I should want to do. What pleases God? What does God accept? What will the Lord receive? You say, well, preacher, I'm saved, so God just accepts everything. Oh, no. Mm-mm. That's a misconception there. That's a misconception. So before we refer to things in Scripture, let's make sure they line up with Scripture and not merely about how we feel. You know, the Bible says this, open rebuke is better than secret love. Now, if anybody's got any heart about them, you ought not really to take much pleasure in having to rebuke somebody. That's not a fun thing. But the Bible says that open rebuke is better than secret love. You see, my feelings, the way my personality is, my feelings would be rather to show love, secret love, rather than doing the thing I know I need to do and being an open, bringing an open rebuke. Because what I feel goes contrary to what does the Bible say. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Not going off of feelings, but what does God say in His Word? Making sure that things are done in order and according to Scripture and what the Bible says. The Lord expects this. The Lord expects order in our life and not a state of confusion. Number five, the sacrifice had to be cut in pieces. It had to be broken up before it could go to the altar. You know what? Sometimes, I'm almost done here this evening. One thing that's sometimes synonymous with the sacrifice and it being accepted is that there's a brokenness when it's being offered. You see, just back there in the Old Testament times, you just didn't take that huge old calf or that cow and just throw them up there on the altar and light them on fire. No, there was a process that they had to go through. There was some offerings you could put most of the offering on there. Some offerings you could only put, you couldn't put the head on there. You could only put certain parts of the body on there for the altar, for the sin offering or the burnt offering or the peace offering. There was different ways and way and what the, how they could present that offering to the Lord for the Lord to accept it. But through most of them, that thing had to be cut in pieces before it could be offered there on that altar. God may just have to break us up a little bit in order for our sacrifice to be acceptable to Him. God might just have to bring us to a place of brokenness, to where, as the song says, you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. The bullock was cut in pieces and Elijah had it laid in order there on top of that wood, and then he had water poured on top of it. So much so that whole trench overflowed. That whole sacrifice was soaked with water. Our sacrifices that we bring to God ought to be soaked in the Word of God. You want to know how the sacrifice is going to be acceptable? It'll line up completely with what the Bible says. Take your Bible and look here. We're going to close up Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. Titus 3:5. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says here, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Lastly, flip over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews 10, 22. Hebrews chapter 10, 22. Hebrews 10, 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the professing of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You spend time in God's Word, you spend time meditating upon God's Word. It's going to show you where you need to clean up. It's going to help us see what we need to see to grow closer to the Lord, areas of improvement, areas maybe where we're doing well. But while reading the Bible, the Lord will show us what we need to see. Lord, our brethren, our desire ought to Balaam got in there and messed the children of Israel up. He really messed them up. He messed them up so bad that thousands of individuals lost their lives because of that sin that they committed with Baal-peor. And I'm afraid today that just like Balaam was able to get in there and bring a stumbling block to the nation of Israel, there's false teachers today who are trying to bring a stumbling block to those who are truly saved and trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not fall prey to it. And if we do, may we ask God to help us to see it and get away from it, so that what we offer to the God is acceptable in his sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Thank you for these brethren, though. Thank you for your word. And Lord, just thank you, Father, that we had voices to sing up to you this evening, dear God, praises to you. Lord, thank you for redeeming our souls. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Lord, the Bible says that the men of Issachar knew the times. Lord, help us to know the times that we're living in, dear God. Help us to not fall prey to the traps and to the snares of the enemy. Lord, help us to examine ourselves consistently. Search ourselves, Lord. Try us, know us, dear God, that, Lord, that we may perfect holiness in the fear of God. Lord, help us to walk in the light of these things, dear Lord. Help us not to be tricked. Lord, help us to love you more. Lord, we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.